Developing news tonight, a massive teacher revolt, a major new turn in a growing wave of protests nationwide over money.
It's not about the pay raise, it's about the kids. We need funding for our schools, we need books, we need facilities, we need everything for our kids.
From West Virginia and Arizona, now Oklahoma and Kentucky, teachers again rising up, walking out, declaring enough is enough. Stocks plunge again as China strikes back, triggering new fears of a trade war. Could you end up paying more for many of the things you buy? A stunning revelation from the Kremlin about an offer from President Trump. Is Vladimir Putin headed for a summit at the White House? Millions of shoppers at Saks and Lord & Taylor hit by hackers. As more people use those new chip cards, why do these kinds of breaches keep happening? And an amazing rescue. A teenager plunges 25 feet underground, found alive after being trapped for 12 hours. They're calling him a miracle survivor.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening from Los Angeles as we welcome our viewers here in the West. Tonight, another flashpoint in a widening teachers' movement that is pulling back the curtain on what we actually spend on classroom learning in this country and on the people who teach our kids. Today, it was Oklahoma, where tens of thousands of teachers walked out on strike and walked to the state capitol in protest. Protest over a decade without a pay raise, over per-student spending that ranks 47th in the nation, a situation that has forced some schools to move to four-day weeks to save money. We saw it in West Virginia and most recently in Arizona, teachers organizing and saying enough. Our Blake McCoy has the story.
Thousands of teachers and students marching out of the classroom to the steps of Oklahoma's Capitol.
We need textbooks. We need more teachers.
Jennifer Thornton is a third grade teacher in Tulsa, taking home just $1,952 a month after taxes, accepting help from family and her 19-year-old son. She recalls passing her students while driving to a food bank for the first time.
They waved all smiling at me, and I thought, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed. I should not have to do this. I have 2 degrees.
This is a walkout lawmakers tried to avoid, passing a $6,100 pay raise for teachers last week, the largest in state history.
You guys got a big pay raise last week. Why isn't that enough?
It's not about the pay raise. It's about the kids. We need funding for our schools. We need books. We need facilities.
This student brought what's left of her textbook.
It is from 2006.
Every single day you'll see a teacher come in early, stay late, all for us. This is all for us.
This teacher revolt began in West Virginia a month ago, spreading to Arizona and Kentucky, where teachers today flooded the state capitol protesting pensions.
We're not going to let the new majority bully our kids' teachers.
Educators in Oklahoma appreciate the raise, but think the state has a long way to go towards earning a passing grade.
When we don't have the resources we need in the classroom, the kids aren't getting their best. We're all being robbed by the state of Oklahoma right now.
There was little movement from lawmakers here today. The governor says the state can only do so much at one time while balancing other needs. Meanwhile, teachers plan to walk out tomorrow for a second day. Lester?
And they're certainly getting the nation's attention. Blake, thank you very much. On Wall Street today, another market plunge. The Dow finishing down about 458 points, off almost 2% after being even further down earlier in the day. And weighing on the market, a series of presidential actions and tweets, from a potential trade war with China to a White House showdown with Amazon. NBC's Tom Costello explains.
The closing bell on Wall Street brought relief that the market did manage to claw its way back from the lowest levels of the day when the Dow was down 3%, 758 points.
A big sell-off today for the first trading day of the quarter.
Fear of an expanding trade war with China helped drive stocks lower. Last month, President Trump tweeted, "Trade wars are good and easy to win." And today, China announced tariffs on 128 products after the U.S. imposed tariffs on Chinese steel. U.S. exports of aircraft, pork, soybeans, fruit, all targeted by China. That's got American farmers concerned a trade war will cost them.
One out of every three gets exported to China, which is a big number.
Also falling hard today, tech stocks. Amazon.com down 5%, targeted by President Trump in a series of tweets. Facebook down 20% from its highs amid its privacy scandals. With today's selling, the Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P have all entered so-called correction territory, falling at least 10% from their highs set in February. For average investors, though, today's selling could be an opportunity.
And if you're a long-term investor, which most 401k investors are, opportunities like this don't come along very often.
If the Trump administration hits China for intellectual property theft this week, Chinese-made cell phones, computers, and clothing could suddenly get much more expensive here in America. Lester?
All right, Tom Casella, thank you. Now to the controversy playing out on TV screens all across the nation. It concerns Sinclair Broadcast Group. Well, that may not be a household name. Sinclair is the country's largest local broadcaster, which owns or operates more than 190 stations. Sinclair is under fire for requiring local news anchors in dozens of markets to read an identical promo ad script, criticizing, quote, false news and fake stories. As NBC's Hallie Jackson tells us tonight, Sinclair is fighting back.
Journalism that CBS
a synchronized script.
Some media outlets publish the same fake stories
on dozens of local news stations. Same words, same message. Mandated by the same station owner, Sinclair Broadcasting Group.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Tonight, the corporation behind that commentary, defiant and digging in after this video posted by Deadspin went viral. In an internal memo obtained by NBC News, a Sinclair executive lists its journalism awards and in a statement to reporters writes, "We find it curious that we would be attacked for asking our news people to remind their audiences that unsubstantiated stories exist on social media." Some critics see it differently.
It's odd to see all of these anchors saying the same thing at the same time with the words that have come out of one central location in Baltimore, Maryland. That's not our tradition in the United States. It's max of propaganda.
The broadcast group, which skews more conservative, owns or operates more than 190 stations, including 15 NBC affiliates. Two-thirds of those stations are in Trump country. The company wants to buy Tribune, a merger that would put its stations in three of every four households in the U.S., but it needs approval from the FCC first. The president, seeming supportive, tweeting today, "It's so funny to watch fake news networks criticize Sinclair Broadcasting, calling the company far superior to fake NBC," a promo blasting fake news, now creating very real headlines. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Washington.
There's a big question swirling tonight. Will Vladimir Putin be welcomed inside the White House after Russia's meddling in the 2016 election? That question is sending shockwaves through Washington after it was revealed the Trump administration is considering a summit with Putin in Washington. We get details from NBC's Peter Alexander.
The president today welcoming thousands of families to the annual Easter egg roll here at the White House.
We keep it in tip-top shape. We call it sometimes tippy-top shape, and it's a great, great place.
And the White House could be the venue for a blockbuster summit between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. The Kremlin today revealing Mr. Trump suggested it during his congratulatory call with Putin last month.
We will probably get together in the not-too-distant future so that we can discuss arms.
Press Secretary Sarah Sanders confirming the president's discussed a sit-down at a number of potential venues, including the White House. Tonight, Putin's aides say there haven't been any concrete discussions since. But Russia's ambassador with NBC News embraced the idea.
I consider that it's a very positive signal from the United States that it's high time for two presidents to sit together.
It would be a stunning sight hosting the leader of the country accused of meddling in the 2016 election. Despite deteriorating ties between the U.S. and Russia, President Trump remains reluctant to criticize Putin, and during that recent call avoided condemning Russia for the poisoning of a former spy in Britain, even as his administration expelled dozens of Russian diplomats from the U.S. last week. The president's last White House meeting with top Russian officials sparked its own controversy when he shared classified information, appearing to jeopardize a critical ally's intelligence source on ISIS.
And Peter, the president, I know, stirring up another contentious debate about the future of so-called dreamers. What's he saying?
Yeah, Lester, that's right. The president today on Twitter declaring DACA dead. DACA is the program that protects nearly 700,000 young undocumented immigrants. And the president again blamed Democrats. But remember, it was President Trump who ended the program. For now, the status of those dreamers is in the hands of the courts. Lester.
All right. Peter Alexander at the White House this evening. Thank you. There are troubling new details tonight in the case of a Washington State family whose SUV plunged off a cliff in Northern California. Police now believe the parents of six may have sent their vehicle plummeting intentionally. NBC's Steve Patterson has the latest.
Tonight, new evidence suggesting that this was no accident.
Preliminary investigation indicates to us that this incident may have been an intentional act and not the result of a traffic collision.
Police believe Jennifer and Sarah Hart may have stopped their SUV 70 feet from the edge of this cliff in Northern California, then accelerated, plunging 100 feet to the coast below. Their adopted children trapped inside.
It was a very confusing scene because there were no skid marks. There were no brake marks.
Crews recovered the bodies of the married couple, along with three of their six children. An active search for the three still missing is underway, among them 15-year-old Devontae Hart, famously photographed in 2014 hugging a police officer during a protest in Portland. Investigators now looking into the family's history, executing a search warrant, combing through phone and bank records.
It was upsetting.
Neighbors Bruce DeKalb and his wife Dana say they called Child Protective Services, reporting Devontae was asking them for food to share with his siblings. CPS describing the children as potential victims of abuse and neglect.
Devontae coming over here and telling us that, you know, he's being starved to death and they're mean and, you know, he doesn't like it.
Red flags, police say, may point to a criminal act along the cliffside. Steve Patterson, NBC News.
There's new fallout tonight after a series of high-profile hack attacks at stores. The latest, millions of customers at Saks Fifth Avenue and Lord & Taylor getting hit. And it might have you wondering, weren't those new credit cards with the chips installed supposed to help prevent this? NBC News business correspondent Jolene Kent takes a look at why it keeps happening.
Tonight, 5 million credit and debit card numbers stolen from three popular retailers. The cyber research firm which discovered the breach says 125,000 accounts are already for sale on the dark web. The card numbers were stolen when shoppers bought items in person. There's no evidence the breach hit online shoppers. The Hudson's Bay Company, which owns Saks Fifth Avenue, Saks Off Fifth, and Lord & Taylor, says it's taken steps to contain the breach and believes it no longer poses a risk to customers shopping at our stores. But as consumers use new credit cards with chips to increase security, why do breaches like this continue to happen?
The problem is these retailers are still storing the basic credit card data in a back-end database, which basically negates or takes away any of the security protection that are in that chip or chip and pin.
Consumer experts recommend set up extra security measures on your card. For example, ask for your credit card provider to text you before a purchase goes through so you can approve it.
All three stores are offering free identity protection services for affected customers, and those hit with fraudulent charges will not be held responsible. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Los Angeles.
In South Africa, a state funeral is being planned for Winnie Mandela, the wife of former President Nelson Mandela. Winnie Mandela earned her own place as a tireless activist in the long struggle for black majority rule and against the apartheid government. She died today after a long illness.
Winnie Makadizela Mandela was married for 38 years to Nelson Mandela, spanning his journey from prisoner on Robben Island to becoming South Africa's first black president, fighting for justice and keeping his memory alive during his 27-year public absence.
The country itself is a prison for the oppressed people. There is hardly a darker hour than the other, because your very life is determined by apartheid.
Nelson Mandela was released from prison in 1990, and the two walked hand in hand to a changing political environment. But Winnie Mandela's legacy is not without controversy. In 1991, she was convicted of kidnapping, and for years was dogged by accusations of ties to murder. Yet for many, her fight for equality frames her legacy. And today, messages around the world memorializing the woman hailed by some as the mother of South Africa. Today, supporters gathered outside of her home.
We do know that we shall get our freedom, and that we shall have a just society.
Winnie Mandela died today in Johannesburg. She was 81 years old. We're going to take a short break here, but there's a lot more to tell you about. In fact, a boy plunges 25 feet into an underground maze of pipes, trapped for 12 agonizing hours. We're going to have the story of the miracle rescue just ahead. We're back now with what's being called a miraculous rescue. A 13-year-old boy found alive after plunging down a pipe deep underground. Over 100 firefighters joining in the search to find him, finally discovered after 12 hours, more than a half a mile from where he disappeared. NBC's Miguel Almaguer now has the dramatic details.
Here we found where the kid fell into a drainage.
The 12-hour search began at this decommissioned sewage facility and came to an end a half mile away under one of LA's busiest freeways.
We have found Jesse Hernandez.
And tonight, he spoke exclusively to NBC4 in Los Angeles.
I was just praying to God to help me to not die.
Were you scared?
Yeah, I was scared.
The 13-year-old survived the unimaginable. After celebrating Easter with family, Jesse Hernandez fell through a hole, plunging 25 feet down into rushing water. Hernandez swept into the underground system.
The chances of surviving in that toxic environment, to be honest, we were surprised we found him alive.
With firefighters searching overnight, crews opened manhole covers. But the city's sewer system is a maze. When Hernandez was found 11 feet down, he was in a section of pipe 3.5 feet tall, with raw sewage running through it.
A specialized maintenance camera like this one could see handprints where the boy tried to stop his slide. Using the camera and a sanitation team, a crew moved in.
Well, it was all quiet, but you could just hear the water running through, and you couldn't see anything. It was dark.
A miracle rescue with twists and turns this 13-year-old will never forget. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Pretty amazing, isn't it? Coming up, the drunk driver who sparked outrage over his so-called affluenza defense, now a free man. Back in the headlines tonight, the so-called affluenza teen, Ethan Couch, who is now 20, was released from a Texas jail today after serving nearly 2 years for violating his probation. Couch sparked national outrage when he received no prison time for killing 4 people in a drunk driving crash in 2013 after a psychologist testified his wealthy upbringing left him unable to tell right from wrong. Both Couch and his mother fled to Mexico in 2015, but were detained and sent back to the U.S. She's answered the call time and time again. Now, after nearly 30 years, this trailblazing firefighter is ready for life's next chapter. Those Who Serve is coming up next. Finally tonight, Those Who Serve, and our story comes from here in Southern California, about a firefighter who has been among the unsung heroes in so many disasters and catastrophes we've covered along the way. But she's not an unsung hero to her peers. She's about to retire, and so I wanted you to hear about her and about the impact she has made before she moves on.
Suiting up at Fire Station 88, home to Urban Search and Rescue, FEMA Task Force 1.
We respond to natural disasters and now man-made disasters.
A team of 26 men and one woman, Holland Bullock.
We're a team-based operation. You can't do anything by yourself.
Her father and brother served on the department, and she joined in 1990.
It was a tough place for women to be firefighters.
Bullock has reported for duty on national tragedies like the World Trade Center attack, Hurricane Katrina, and a train derailment in Chatsworth, California. Recently, she searched through dirt and debris after deadly mudslides in Montecito.
We were there to assist that fire department, and my heart goes out to them because I saw the devastation, and that's their neighborhood.
Bullock has shared her experience and knowledge with thousands of firefighters.
This young woman put a big mark on the organization in a positive way.
Impacting those she served and those she served with.
I still have people come up, men and women, and say, I didn't know women could be firefighters. If I can just say that, yes, women can be firefighters, and let that be known.
a firefighter now retiring from one job she loves to another, raising three little girls who may someday walk through doors their mom helped open.
And we thank her for all she's done and wish her the best in retirement. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.